Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Always good to talk to this guy, one of the good guys in our business. It's Dan Harr. He is a columnist, associate editor at Hearst, Connecticut Media. Mr. Harr, how are you?
Good morning. It's a great sports event underway until November the 1st, first Tuesday in November. I got to get it right.
It's just like covering sports. That's what I tell people. That's why I like politics so much. It's no different than sports. And it took them about 12 hours for the gubernatorial candidates to start whacking at each other on Twitter, although I think in a pretty sophomoric fashion.
What's wrong with Trump and Ausky and Ned Malloy? Those are great names.
Hope at the start it would be a little bit more highbrow than that.
So is that equivalent to getting plunked on the first pitch of the game?
Yes. Yes.
Hitting five straight homers?
Yes, that's Jose Urena against Ronald Acuna Jr. That's exactly what that is. And as you have pointed out, though, eloquently in your column since the primaries have ended, these are two diverse people with diverse opinions on how to do things. Even though there are similarities, this is going to be a very fascinating gubernatorial race.
Yeah, well, I got a little bit of flack from the Stephen Askey supporters yesterday for saying that he's relying on low information. Which is to say that he's not going to eliminate the income tax in 8 years. That's not happening. It could happen, but you'd have to go back to 13.5% on the business tax and reinstate a dividends and capital gains tax. There are ways to do it, but there's no way to do it without replacing that tax. And so he's telling people that, and he's relying on, you know, what we would just call low information. And people were saying that I was being biased and all that stuff. But it's just not happening. And so what you have is you have one candidate who believes that the problems are really, really complex. And Stefanowski spends a lot of time detailing where exactly Connecticut is going wrong and saying that, well, the answer is simple, you cut taxes. And on the other side of the ledger, you've got Lamont, he's not spending a whole lot of time detailing the problems. He's saying, you know, look, we're broken, we got a problem, but the fixes are really complicated. It's a kind of a long-term mix of reinvestment, the urban investment policy. It's pretty much the standard Democratic playbook, but it's complicated, and potentially some revenue increases that he really doesn't like to talk about. And I don't blame him, because talking about tax increases in Connecticut is not a winning philosophy.
No, nor will it be for Ned Lamont, I would say. Does the way that Stefanowski won the primary, Dan, is that a game changer for the future, or is this a one-time phenomenon? Ignore the conventions, get a lot of early money involved in advertising, and go from there.
I think that the issue is not. The method he used versus the method that Boughton used, which Boughton would obviously be the sort of traditional candidate, and you would expect that to be a winning strategy normally. The issue is the number of candidates, not the tactic. I think if we see, you need to have a stronger state central committee to weed out candidates. It's really exactly the same thing that happened with Trump, right? And so to me, the issue is not that Trump was able to, well, Trump's a much better candidate than Stefanowski. Stefanowski was able to sort of sneak in and do a lot of advertising before anybody was on the ground. Most people weren't on the ground with advertising until June, and he was already up and out. And so that head start mattered. But I think the issue is the number of candidates rather than the method of campaigning.
talking with Dan Haar from Hearst, Connecticut Media about the gubernatorial election, which will take place on the first Tuesday of November, and the jousting has already begun. At the end of the day, how much are the voters going to care about the Democrats painting Stefanowski as a bobo for Trump, or the Republicans painting Lamont as a bobo for the current administration? Is that what the decision is going to come down to, or are Connecticut voters smart enough to get deeper into it than that?
If Connecticut voters were smart enough to get deeper into that, then they wouldn't have voted in Stefanowski. The bottom line is that his strategy relies on low information by voters, because it's just not the case that you can eliminate the income tax, and it's just not the case that the problems are that simple. We don't have simply a high tax problem in Connecticut. We have a very, very complex set of problems here, having to do with urban development, having to do with where we are, having to do with just a whole lot of things. And so I unfortunately don't have a lot of faith in that way. I mean, as evidence, I talk to a lot of voters, right? Very, very few voters knew the difference between Semmerman and Stefanowski. Even though Semmerman and Stefanowski, while both being anti-tax Republicans, were in very different places. And people just didn't have the wherewithal, the time, the interest to sort out, you know, what's the difference on those two ends of the spectrum. Semmerman had this incredibly elaborate plan. I think it was very well thought out. And the electorate just didn't buy it. Actually, I shouldn't say that. He did well, but he didn't do well enough.
As far as Lamont goes, we've seen him in the past not be exactly Mr. Excitement. He was a little bit better in the primary. He upped his game a little bit. But how much more outgoing, how much more effusive does he have to get without being as excitable as he was on Tuesday night when his acceptance speech, some people thought he went over the top?
Well, I mean, it worked in Hollywood in the 30s in those, Mr. Smith goes to Washington stories. He's got that sort of, oh, shucks. And I suppose in his heart of hearts, he may be cultivating that whole sort of, oh, shucks stuff. But he was pretty feisty in his acceptance speech. I don't know if you'd call it an acceptance speech, in his victory speech,
right?
On Tuesday night, he was pretty feisty, and he was pretty feisty yesterday. So someone is advising him that if you sit back and be the lower key, guy, you're not going to beat this guy, because this is, this is hardball stuff. And he obviously has a history. This is his third time around. And in each of the previous two times, he did well, outdid expectations, and then fell short. So someone's advising him that you got to come out swinging. Come on.
I think we'll see him swinging hard for the fences and at each other sooner rather than later. They already started yesterday. Danny, thanks for the time. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Be well.
Great times ahead. Same to you.
Thank you. Dan Haar from Hearst, Connecticut Media.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.